Welcome, Adrima. Welcome, everybody. Is JGB here? Welcome, we are just arriving at take a seat. We are about to start with our meeting. And there's tea outside for all of us. And let's start with the meeting. I hope you will enjoy the day with us here in Parliament. Honourable members, are there any apologies? None? There are no apologies? Without any waste of time, can I allow there's an apology from the CEO of Agrima South Africa? Chairperson. Chairperson of Agrima South Africa, whose flight is a bit delayed, but he will join us. And also, that's all that we have got on our table. Can we now start with our meeting? Agrima South Africa, you can start with your presentation. Over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee on Public Works, it's a great pleasure for Agrima South Africa to make this presentation today on the 18th of April on our strategic plan and guidance. As stated, Mr. Pete Selenga, the chairperson, is on his way and should be joining us any time from now. I'm also accompanied by Mr. Pat Nube, who is a financial management accountant for Agrima South Africa. Agrima's vision is to be a world-class technical assessment agency, and our mission is to promote government objectives of economic development, good governance, and raising the living standards and prosperity by undertaking technical assessment and certification of non-standard construction products in South Africa. I'll just stress that bit of certification because that's the core business of Agrima. We certificate the non-standard construction products. In other words, if there's any product for which there are no national standards, we carry out comprehensive tests to assess whether that product is fit for purpose. And should the tests reveal that the product can be used safely in terms of health and safety and in terms of performance, then we do award a certificate for technical assessment, showing that the product can be used as a standardized product within the country of South Africa. Our mandate is from the government, and we are there to support and promote the process of socio-economic development in South Africa as it relates to the construction industry by facilitating the introduction, the application, and utilization of satisfactory innovation and technology development in a manner which will add value to the process and by so doing enhance Agrima South Africa's position as an internationally acknowledged, objective South African Center for the Assessment and Certification of Non-Standardized Construction Products. Now, this mandate fully encompasses exactly what we do from product development through to its market acceptance and rollout in industry. And it allows new products to come into the market in a safe manner and without any risk to the users or to the public. And in doing this, Agrima South Africa provides assurance of fitness of purpose of such technologies which optimize resource utilization and realize cost savings in industry. The core reason why people come up with new products is actually to either optimize resource utilization, to come up with a product which can perform better at a lower cost, or perform better at or be applied easier than previously. And I'll illustrate in the example which I'll give later in my presentation a couple of examples of such products which actually do this particular activity. If I look back in terms of our impact and achievement, in the last financial year, we did exceed all our projections of outputs to date. And this bodes well for the past and the future of the agency because it means that we are improving on our performance on previous years and means that it will be better for the country going forward. In terms of our strategy, we align ourselves to support key government priority areas. And also, given the fact that we do devote to the National Department of Public Works, we also have to align our activities to that of the National Department of Public Works. And if you look at the National Department of Public Works, their triple challenge currently relates to the activities of unemployment, poverty reduction, and reduction of inequality. And in all our activities, we ensure that we take these activities into great, we put these activities at the core when we come up with our strategies for our strategic plan and budget for the future. And in terms of the 2009 last midterm review, we are currently in the midterm review of the 2009-2014 five-year development plan. And in the recent State of the Nation address in February, the key priority areas were health, education, crime fighting, human settlement, energy, water provision, and rural development. And in all our activities, we align ourselves to ensure that the products that we do certificate either meet one or other of this particular government key initiatives. In terms of unemployment, we seek to address unemployment by certificating products which can be suitable for rural development, amongst others. Some of our products can also be easily erected by women and the youth, and this supports gender mainstreaming and women empowerment initiatives, as well as upskilling the youth. And internally, we do have an internal bursary scheme whereby we support students who need bursaries for further education. In the NPC, this is a national development plan that was released in November, December last year. There were 13 key challenges and proposals. And out of these 13 key challenges and proposals, our mandate talks to 9 of these ones, which are highlighted in gray in this particular initiative. In other words, you can relate our mandate to 9 of these key national development plan, NPC, key challenges and proposals. I'll just touch on one or two of them and just illustrate how our mandate and how our activities directly relate to the National Development Plan, which is a 2030 plan. If you look at number one, creating jobs and livelihoods, I'll say that the products we do certificate do support job creation in one way or another, as well as the second point there, which is expanding infrastructure. That's the key purpose. Our products relate to innovative products. And as such, infrastructure is a construction output. And since we certificate products, we do support that particular key point number 2 on the National Development Plan 2030. If you look at number 3, transitioning the nation, South Africa, to a low-carbon economy, we have been at the core. We work hand-in-hand with other governments and national initiatives in coming up with low-carbon initiatives or products in one way or another. So we do not do it as a primary, but we do support the initiatives by participating in those initiatives which work towards moving South Africa to a low-carbon economy, and so on and so forth. In terms of transforming rural and urban spaces, yes, all the products we do certificate support that particular initiative in one way or another. So we are at the core of the South African National Development Plan going forward. In terms of the what I said previously, if you look at the NDP 2030, the Vision 2030, and the State of the Nation address that was in February, the two key areas which they want to focus on is poverty and inequality and prosperity and equity. And if you look at our outputs and the work we do, our mandate talks to these two particular key initiatives in one way or another, as I'll illustrate later in my presentation. So by reducing poverty and inequality, you lead to developing a nation of prosperity and equity. And this you can do by reducing, producing jobs, building more infrastructure, having a resource-intensive economy so that we bring more people into the economy, planning to be well executed, education, etc., etc., health and public service, etc. If you come up to the recommendations of the State of the Nation Address and the National Development Plan Vision 2030, in terms of strengthening the broader technical capacity, hence for AGRIMA, we have reviewed the technical infrastructure within our agency by supporting testing and certification of building and construction industry products. We have done this by strengthening our technical infrastructure. We have come up with partnerships with other key institutions which have testing facilities to share and build on that particular skill and capability. Our scope must include building regulations, codes, and certification, and supporting infrastructure. We work within the ambit of the national building regulations, and because that is the act under which we have our mandate per se, and therefore whatever we do must include the national building regulations, the codes and certification, and supporting infrastructure. In terms of coming up with new products, in terms of research and development, we support this infrastructure in relation to coming up with the new building regulations, codes, and certification. We sit on several SABS standards generations committees, and we work hand in hand with other government institutions in coming up with new building regulations, developing codes, and supporting infrastructure. And in terms of one of the recommendations that we would like the new acts that the National Department of Public Works is working on for the creation of AGRIMA as a legal entity will come up with short-term bridging finance to support the activities of the agency. Other points raised in the State of the Nation Address and the National Development Plan Vision 2030 is the creation of jobs. The vision is to create 11 million more jobs by the year 2030. That's new jobs. And we, as AGRIMA, have a lot of products which can support this particular initiative of job creation. In other words, we have products which can be laid quite efficiently using labor instead of using machinery. And research shows that these products perform equally or just as well as products which are erected using machinery. The second point raised talks of lowering the cost of doing business and costs to household. Expanding infrastructure, our products can be able to...
Can we switch off our cell phone? Thank you, continue.
Our products can be used to expand infrastructure. They can also be used to speed up and expand renewable energy and waste recycling products and transforming urban and rural spaces. I just want to state one point at the bottom there. A government that works doesn't just deliver more houses. It does more than that. It makes it possible for people to build or buy their own houses. And in the next few slides, I'll illustrate how AGRIMA, with some of its products, enables people to build their own or buy their own houses. In other words, we support government initiatives by empowering people to be able to build their own houses instead of people, government building houses for them. And thereby, you kill two birds with one stone. You enable the people to build their own houses and also provide them with the houses. And I'll introduce this particular product, this particular project, which was constructed in Gombani village, in Venda, in Limpopo province. It uses compacted soil, cement, bricks using very limited amount of cement. The primary product is sand, which is harvested locally. You can see in the first photo on the top left hand there, that's the ground where the soil is being harvested to manufacture the brocks, which are then compacted, which are manufactured on site, compacted and stacked and used to erect the buildings. And you can see they're being erected on site, and there you see the completed building. This particular product, this compacted soil brick, is a product which has been used in construction for decades. But the new technology compresses this particular block using a compression machine, and the cement content used is very minimal. It uses about 7% cement with suitable soil, local soil, and limited amount of water, and then it is dried on site. It is allowed to cure, and then erected, dry stacked. In other words, put together without the use of mortar. And
can we please show for ourselves? There's a cell phone that is ringing. That's why Jack, we are in with the system.
Okay. This particular product was used in Gombani Village, and you can see how it was an expanded public works project championed by the National Department of Public Works. And we transformed individuals who were living in structures similar to the first two portals on the left and erected buildings similar to the last two portals on the right. These buildings were using this particular kind of compacted earth blocks, dry stacked and constructed by the people who were going to live in those particular structures. So we move people from structures similar to this to structures similar to this on the right. This particular one's on the left, and these are the completed structures on the right. So I go back to my previous point that a government that works well doesn't just deliver more houses. It does more than that. It makes it possible for people to buy or build their own houses. And by doing this, we enable people to become entrepreneurs. Three pivotal factors that ensure a truly successful housing project are: one, cost effectiveness; number two, community upliftment; and three, sustainability. And I believe that this stabilized soil, dry stacked soil brick addresses these three key points, which are vital and pivotal to ensure truly successful housing projects. I mentioned this particular product in the past, which is a tilt-up reinforced concrete construction, where the structures are erected on the ground and then lifted up into position and erecting housing. I'll now move on to organizational structure within the agency. In terms of Agama, we do have a board of whom the chairperson is Mr. Pepe Silinga, who will be joining us briefly. And we do operate within the ambit of the CSR, where we are based, and our technical agency makes use of a technical committee which does approval of the certificate. In-house, we don't have all the expertise, and therefore we make use of national best practice, in other words, the technical experts available within the country to assist us in giving us expert opinions on the products of which we undertake technical assessments thereof. Now, broadly speaking, this is the organizational structure of the agency. In terms of governance, in the last financial year, we did have an annual report which was tabled in Parliament on the 20th of October 2011, and our annual strategic and annual performance plan 2012-2016 was delivered to Parliament on the 7th of March last month, on 7th of March 2012, for tabling. The board, as I mentioned previously, conducts oversight on the agency operations, and the chairman and the board are duly appointed by the Minister of Public Works. I believe that working together with government, Agama has made great contribution in the safe introduction of safe innovations within the country. And as I mentioned previously, with more financial support, I believe the agency can achieve far much more. Our values are four, they can be summarized using the acronym PRIDE, where we focus on people, where we strive to ensure that people attain their full potential in terms of the support of science, in terms of reputation, we enhance relevance, integrity, and quality and delivery of our outputs. Ingenuity, we realize the full intellectual potential of our people. Diversity, we respect individual and multicultural heritage and work together. We have energy in working together for impact through passion, drive, and agility. I believe that Agama South Africa has excellent systems, processes, linkages, and linkages with global best practices, and we are well governed with strong control systems. The board addresses issues of corporate governance to ensure compliance with treasury and national requirements and to ensure proper fiduciary management. Currently, there are 8 board members and are appointed for a 3-year period. As I mentioned, Pep is the chairperson, and the board does hold annual strategic plan and at least 4 meetings annually. And the last point that I just want to say that Agama's finances are audited, and in the last year we did receive a clean financial audit report. And CSR was cited by the Auditor General as the best managed public entity as an example of good corporate governance. We, as I mentioned previously, are part and parcel of the CSR and thereby share this great accolade as being the best managed public entity and as an example of good corporate governance. The board members, their photos there. If you do come and visit us, I'm sure you'll have a chance to meet all of them. We do have Mr. Pebu, who's from the Eastern Cape, Kruger Development Corporation, and Tebo Ngobo, who's from the University of Johannesburg, Dr. Mahachi from the NHDRC. Then we have a member from SABS, Mr. Frank Makamo from the Bureau of Standards, and Mariana from the National Regulator for Compulsory Certification. Mr. Hans Hittman is the next director of the CSR, and we do have 2 members from consulting, one from WBHO, Advocate Ranape, and Mr. Fredericks, who's a consultant engineer specializing in health and safety. So those are the 8 board members who were appointed by the Minister for Public Works and for a period of 3 years. In terms of highlights of the performance in the last financial year, I just want to list a couple of them, 5 of them in total. The first one is maintaining our ISO certification status, which I believe is a key point. We have enhanced the technical competence of specialists, thus improving the quality of technical output. We've enhanced the technical skills of the staff members to ensure competence in handling complex technical assessments, and continued utilization of in-house specialists like laboratory testing equipment. As you're aware, a couple of years ago we acquired some equipment and we have been using them in-house and thereby enhancing the skill by allowing our people to be able to be competent in handling those particular equipment. And we've retained in-house highly skilled technical experts to provide expert opinions. You'll see that all these issues relate about technical excellence, and that's a key feather in our hat. In terms of the typical product development cycle, this illustrates the difference between research, which is done by the CSR, the certification, which is done by Agama, the green part in the middle, and the standardized products, which is the Bureau of Standards mandate. Once a product has gone through that cycle, it's come from research, certification, it's a standardized product, there's standards written for it, then it moves into that particular ring. This particular slide just illustrates the difference between the 3 particular key initiatives. 1 is R&D, 2 is product acceptance and testing, 3 is a standardized product that's used in accordance with the national standard. Key difference, please keep note this particular difference, because we do not, Agama does not operate in the area of research and development, neither do we operate in the area of standardized products. Therefore, standardized products like corrugated iron sheet, which are standardized, we do not operate in that particular area. In terms of in-house staff members and transformation, I think we're relatively well transformed and gender sensitive, with either 92% being black or female. And we have a strong emphasis on development of human resources to enhance skills development and technical efficiency of the staff, as well as we do make use of the technical committee, which is also hugely transformed in terms of both number and skills and in terms of expertise. And transformation in the agency, as I stated, has been largely well addressed. In terms of qualifications, we have a reasonable spread of highly qualified staff, as illustrated in that particular slide. Now, I come to the outputs for the last financial year, in terms of targets, where we had hoped to be and where we actually achieved. And you will see from the figures illustrated there that we did exceed our targets in all the areas of our of where we're working. If we look at the applications received, the target was 29. We did receive slightly more than that, which is 36, which is significantly higher than the 26. In terms of offers made, there was an increase as well. Offers accepted, there was a slight decrease, but this will be corrected in the next year, hopefully. Certificate increased, issued, this was a big jump from 15 to 20, which is the highest number we've achieved in the last couple of years. And in terms of total outputs, you see there's also a commensurate increase, 84 to 94 for building products, building systems, 1 or 2 from 98, roads products 16 from 15, and board meetings 4 from 3. This looks at the last 5 years, and you can see the trend is an upward trend, and I'll just graphically illustrate this, and you can see there's a general upward trend in terms of application evaluation offers made. There's a general upward trend. In terms of certificates increased, issued, you can see there's also a gradual upward trend, which bodes well. That means that you're doing better and better each year. And this is just a summary of total certificates issued for over the years, and you can also see there's a genuine upward trend, and we've exceeded the target as well, which bodes well for the agency. And this are just other outputs and illustrated there. I'll just jump over it. And then in terms of financial performance, this is a summary. And in the next few slides, I'll illustrate the breakdown. In terms of the total income, our income has increased, say, by about 5% per annum. And we have kept our expenses in line with our income. And the breakdown of expenses is also illustrated in the next few slides, and I'll quickly show those to you. As I stated, the total income has increased modestly by about 5% per annum, so there's nothing untoward about that. Our expenses, as I said, have also been kept in line with our income, which has also increased by roughly 5% per income per annum over the last 5 years. In terms of our running expenses, this one has come down over the last 3 years due to cost containment measures and internal control systems. Human resources, we had a dip last year due to, as I explained last year when I was here, due to natural causes where we lost a number of staff members. But the growth over the last 4 years has been in line with growth in income, about 5% per annum or thereabouts, or less. Overhead costs, there was a dip this particular year, but we've kept them in line with income per se as well. Our shared services costs have remained more or less about the same, around the 500,000, 600,000 mark. So there's nothing untoward about that. Shared services cost, we do make use of a shared services model within the CSR. And our executive levels, there was a jump in that particular one for this last year, but that's in line, that also is in line with, there's nothing untoward about that. And our margin has been more or less about the same as it has been in line with the previous years. In terms of the MTF transfers, this is a transfer that the government that we do receive. As I said, there's been a 5% increase per annum, and for the 2012 financial year, we foresee the focus is a transfer of 9.903 million to the agency, and this is just illustrated graphically plus the future amounts for next year. Now, in terms of financial statements, Agrimah South Africa operates under Ministerial Delegation of Authority from the Minister of Public Works, which is issued to the chairperson of the board of Agrimah when working in consultation with the board members. And the grant funding for the agency is channeled from the National Department of Public Works to the CSR. As I mentioned earlier, we are part and parcel of the CSR. And our funds are ring-fenced within the CSR Built Environment Unit as a separate competency area. and the agency's transactions are subject to the policies, procedures, and governance processes, or the CSR. And the agency is audited as part of the CSR Built Environment Unit. And CSR has received an unqualified audit report from the Auditor General for the last 2 years and has been hailed as an example of good financial management, as I said previously. And finishing off, I just want to say that we are part and parcel of the World Federation of Technical Assessment Organizations, and we are the only organization within Africa who are members of this prestigious global institution. As you can see, there's a huge concentration in Europe, North America, South America, Japan, Australia, New Zealand. And those are the flags of the member countries. And what are the benefits of being a member of the World Federation of Technical Assessment Organizations? I'd say the sharing of information, acceptance or recognition of peer assessments, and general exchange of mutual information of common interest. So I think that's a crucial, important organization for whom we are members. If I look at what are the opportunities or the challenges which I'd like to point out, one is the current activity which is being handled by the National Department of Public Works is the creation of AGRIM as a juristic persona through legislative process. Currently, our mandate is delegated to the chairperson of the board of AGRIM when acting in conjunction with the wishes of the board, and this is in the process of being changed by the National Department of Public Works in coming up with a bill that will create AGRIM as a legal legal persona. In terms of environmental sustainability and energy efficiency, the new building regulations, stand 204 and 10400 part XA, AGRIMA has written in part 10400 part XA as the body that will carry out the assessments of the software that will be used to assess the energy efficiency of buildings. Now, this is a great responsibility, and we are geared up to handle or to execute this particular mandate which has been placed to us on us by the nation. And I think that in doing this, AGRIMA is supporting the national energy efficiency drive as well as environmental sustainability. We integrate with the wider industry experts by working closely with other stakeholders and by forming strategic alliances. This we do by making sure that we are relevant and we keep ourselves abreast of what is happening within the nation. One of the key challenges is the strict enforcement of national building control legislation. The legislation is good, the enforcement is a challenge, but you're working closely with the national regulator for compulsory certification and the building control officials who have the mandate of approving building products within the areas of jurisdiction. And we enhance the capacity to create decent jobs and employment, and providing training and internship opportunities within the agency. In terms of technical output, I've just listed the products which were certificated in the last 3 slides. I won't go through them, but you can read through the products which were certificated. So I'd like to thank you very much for the opportunity to allow AGRIMA to present our 2012 plan and budget. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for the presentation. Honorable members, like the presentation. Let's engage with the presentation. Honorable Swate will be followed by Honorable Sithole, Honorable Geila, Honorable Baba Maguvane, Honorable Adreya. In that sequence, over to you, Honorable Swate.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the presentation. I've got about 2 to 3 questions with regard to the presentation. First is on the issue of youth and skills development and bursary schemes. I just want to find out how many people or youth have you actually given bursaries, and which institutions are those actually youth learning. And the second one is with regard to you indicated that on one of those slides that you are going to review the technical infrastructure supporting testing and certification in the building and construction industry. So I just want to find out, because we are having a very serious challenge in our country where some of the contractors are given tenders and you find that they are doing shoddy works. And when you do all these studies and finding that those actually contractors were not using the right material, what actually are you doing to expose that? That's one of the things that I actually wanted to ask. And another one is with regard to the issue of trying, where you indicated the transform urban and rural spaces, but you also said that stop building houses on poorly located land and shift most resources to upgrading informal settlements, provided they are in the areas close to jobs. So I actually want maybe these statements to be actually be unpacked to us so that we can understand, because I think for people to move from the rural to the urban, does this mean that you are not going to consider them when you build houses or doing infrastructure to those people? You're only going to shift that to the informal settlement. Are you actually saying that those informal settlements and those people who actually invade land illegally, are you going to upgrade them and leave those people who rightfully own the land in the rural areas? Because that is a serious concern to us. I need you maybe to give clarity on that one. All right. The last one is with regard to the products. You also indicated that the product that are coming, new product coming to the market, you are actually assessing them and checking them as to whether those products are actually of quality and are actually safe to can be utilized. I actually want to find out as to whether how far are you with regard to that. Did you actually check all the products that have been used, or are still going to do that? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Sandy. Agrima South Africa, we have got two new members in this committee, and you must bear with them. They are new, and they don't, maybe in your responses, you need to clarify properly your role as Agrima. And I'm offering everybody tea, CIDB. There's refreshment outside. You can help yourself, Honorable Stolle.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. First of all, I want to thank the Agri South Africa, because what always they say, they do it. But my mind is that one, because we are always keep on saying they don't care about the disabled people. Even to the representative of staff, nothing has been said about them, because even if you do oversight, you need to find that we are encouraging a lot of people that they have to cater for disabled people. And the other one, Chair, is that one of support, because we know always they always say they do support to job creation. If they can give us some figures, what have they done and where? And the other one, Chair, that one that member have touched about the informal settlement, if they can tell us where did they help on this informal settlement, because the informal settlement are escalating like nobody's business outside. And the last one, Chair, is the transcription of their executive levies from 600,000 or 600 million to 12,904,924 for 2012. Why is the escalation so high? Thank you very much.
I think it's 1,000, not million.
Is it 1,000?
Am I right? Yeah, it's 1,000, not million.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Honorable Gayla?
Yeah, Chairperson, Honorable Stoller has covered me. I've on the executive levy. I just wanted clarity on that one. Then, secondly, you, in your presentation, you say you do not operate in standardized products, corrugated iron and so on and so. Can you explain us why you don't operate in that? Because I remember last time you asked a question as a committee regarding the cheap corrugated iron coming into the country. And if you don't operate, who operates in that? Then the last one, Chairperson, is the new technology building products in schools. Did you satisfy that? Are you involved in those? And if you are involved in those, are you happy with that? because in our interaction with the manufacturers and suppliers, they said that they got a lifetime guarantee. So can you just explain us, if you just satisfy, are you happy with them? Are you also happy that they will create jobs as well? This is job creation. Are you happy that they will create jobs if you did satisfy the new technology? Then lastly, the compacted bricks, it's a very good product, but where is this used? Because it's very good and it's cheap and it will assist in the housing. So if you can just explain us on the ground. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Gila, you're before it by Honorable Maguvan. Can you, Baba, your mic? You're not audible enough, Baba.
Is it okay now?
Mm.
Yes. Well, it's about crime fighting. I would want to know as to whether are they putting a lot of money in the police force, or are they there working with the police force to stop crime? Because you see, a lot of cases are not being done properly by the police because of shortage of staff. I would want them to explain as to how do they fight crime. Another issue, water provisions. Are they giving the water, are helping the municipalities or rural people to develop and to develop the areas under Amakhosi, or they only supply finance to the municipalities? The dead issue, corruption. Corruption is killing the entire nation. What is it that they do to help the whole nation to avoid, to stop corruption? Because corruption, you can see that it's eroding the whole nation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's quite refreshing to hear a report and a presentation by an entity that, first of all, employs highly skilled and technical people. You seem to have them on your staff complement. And secondly, you receive a clean audit. That's also kind of refreshing, a welcome exception too. And I just want to ask, what is the reason for your success in those two, in that regard? Whether you can share that with us, because I'm sure many other departments that we oversight can learn from that. And then I've just got two questions regarding, just for clarification, issues, certificates issued, slide 25. There was a dip in 2008, and then it was higher, then there was a dip, and I just want to know what happened in 2008. Similarly, on slide 35, with executive levies, there's a very big spike suddenly from 2011 to 2012. Almost a doubling of that. Can you just explain that to us? I don't understand why that happened and what is the reason for that. That's my question. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you, Honorable Mguni.
Thanks, Professor.
Oh.
My question is the number of certificates suspended. It's on slide 27 or 46. It says one certificate was suspended in 2011. Now, it is not well expanded that what was the reason and what was the product, and then what is happening after suspending a certificate, and how was it issued, because your technical know-how must tell you that the product is not suitable for rehabilitation. Now, you need expansion, just to make us to understand that is the product not in the communities? Because if it is there, whilst you have suspended the certificate, but it's been used, that's it.
you, Honourable Member. Honourable Madlala.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm covered by previous speakers, but then I'm also concerned about the creation of jobs. No, it's true that the SONA is saying that 11 million jobs be created by 2030. If ACRIMA can tell us that their estimate creating of jobs on yearly basis, or how far are they now, as Honourable Members totally mentioned. Also, to me, it's clear, Chairperson, that ACRIMA is having a difficulty on employing people living with disability. If they can just clarify us, what is the problem? Are they not getting applicants from such people, or what is the problem? Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Madlala. I just want to make an addition on what Honourable Gayla indicated. There are two schools built in the Eastern Cape, that is Mgwili and Willowvale, where technology has been used. And can I get a confirmation from you as ACRIMA South Africa that the technology that was used there, is it are you satisfied with it? The lifespan of that technology that was used there, so are you satisfied? And also the rehabilitation of the area where soil was harvested in the Popo. Who's going to rehabilitate it? Is it done? How is it going to be done? And the 10 complaints received by you, can you just share with us what types of complaints did you receive? Thank you. Over to you. Agree. Chairperson of the board, you are welcome, and you are invited. You can come and sit between the two members there, and or here. And those are the two members that I said they are new. Maybe you might, you know, you don't mind, yeah. Maybe you might further inform them who are you and what is ACRIMA South Africa. Over to you, that you can now respond.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you, the Honourable Members, for the question. I will speak and then I'll allow my Chairperson to summarize. I will answer the questions as honestly and as completely as I can. I've noted 16 different questions. The first question is relates to the first three questions relates to the youth skills development, bursary issues, the reviewing of the tech infrastructure, and the transformation or the upgrading of informal settlement. I think I'll just take your cue and clarify our role, which, as I said during my presentation, is to undertake technical assessments. In other words, you're a technical approval agent. In other words, you undertake testing and approvals only. We do not get involved in actual construction or building or development. We do not fund, we do not build, we do not erect structures. We only undertake the testing within the labs or similar structures, or testing of completed structures. And therefore, within our range of ambit, we do not actually fund construction. We do not approve contractors. That's the role of my partner organization, my sister organization. We'll be presenting after my presentation. They're the ones who deal with contractors. And therefore, we do not approve contractors. We do not work within that particular area. And neither do we work within the area of upgrading informal settlements. Bursaries, on my far left, is one of the products of our bursaries. We, given the nature of our, the size of our institution, we can only take about 10% staff complement in bursaries, which means one bursary per year. We only about 10 staff members per se. Therefore, we don't have a very large bursary or skill development institution, but we work within the CSR. There's a big bursary and youth development, skills development initiative where we work with schools and people within tertiary institutions. Now, the next question was products, whether we checked the new products to be safe. Yes, we did undertake comprehensive technical assessment research, which is in line with global best practice. Our criteria is in line with international best standards for testing, and we did undertake comprehensive testing, and before any certificate is issued, yes, we did certify ourselves as well as the board and the technical committee, which is made of industry experts, so it's independent of the agency and the board before any particular product is awarded a certificate. I admit, yes, we did not manage to get any disabled person, and I think this is largely related to the staff complement. If you are very few, it becomes very difficult to expand. I promise that as soon as we do have a chance, this has been number one on my criterion for selection. And I admit we failed, but we are trying to work on addressing it. In supporting job creation, as I mentioned earlier, our mandate is not to construct, and therefore we directly do not create jobs. But the products with certificates have the potential to create jobs. I mentioned that we do not work in developing informal settlements, and I'll jump that particular question. The question on the executive levels, I'll allow my financial person to respond to that. And the question is that was asked whether if we do not operate in standardized products, who operates there? That's the area of the Bureau of Standards. Once the product is certificated in the national standards, then the National Bureau of Standards, the national standards cover those particular products. In terms of the new technology for the building of schools, the Willowvale and the other schools in Eastern Cape, I'll allow my colleague to respond on the particular products and the certificated products. But suffice to say that one of the products used in that particular school, Vela Steel, is the Agrima certificated product. Whether the schools, we are satisfied that they will last over a period of time, we have assessed them within the lab, in other words, undertaking tests to assess the viability over a period of time by doing durability tests within the lab, and they have performed exemplary. But however, the lab test and the actual test are two different things. There's an independent research paper that has been developed by the CSIR on this particular project and has been given to the IDT, and it illustrates the advantages, the disadvantages, etc., etc. In terms of those particular products creating job creations, yes, the products are labor intensive, and that particular research paper by the CSR gives its opinion, its independent opinion on the job creation potential and actual outputs of job creation. It did create jobs, but none of the outputs was that the jobs were for a shorter period of time because the products are erected faster. In terms of compacted art bricks, where and when, this technology has been used since the ancient Egyptians built the pyramids thousands of years ago. So it's compacted earth, it's there, it's just been improved and developed. And it's available, it can be rolled out, and as I said, it has the potential of allowing people to build their own houses. By creating entrepreneurs out of people, you get them out of crime, you get them out of mischief, you get them into employment to build their own dignity and future by building their own houses. As I said, where it was used in Gombani village in Venda, and has been used extensively all over the country with success. Whether we're putting money in the police force, water provision, and fighting corruption, as I said earlier, it's not within our mandate. We only support these initiatives by the products which we certificate, which can be health in fighting crime, in providing water, and also we in-house fight corruption by ensuring that our values and systems are in line with good practice. The question on what is our reason for success, I think values. If you have the right people doing the right thing in the right way, in the right manner, you get the right results. The 2008 certificate, due to economic circumstances, that's the only explanation I can give. In slide 27, the number of certificates suspended, I'll allow my colleague to respond on that particular certificate. Reason, the one certificate, why it was suspended. And 11 million jobs. As I said, we do not do the work in-house, but we promote job creation by the activities that we do certificates. And I think I've responded on all the questions which I noted. The area of the rehabilitation of the area within Gombani, it's a small pond that has been created. I'm not sure whether there's any particular plan at this particular stage on rehabilitation of the land, but I can follow up and report back. We are not directly involved. We are just supporting the technology. But I'm sure the people who are directly involved must have a rehabilitation plan. Thank you for the questions. I'll allow Pat and Nebo to respond.
And the type of complaints you received. And yep. Also, can I be noted? In your response, you said there are advantages and disadvantages of material that was used in Willow Vale and Mgwili. I just want to know the disadvantages of the technology that was used there, so that we can be able to engage with the department whether we should continue with the material if there are serious disadvantages.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll just summarize from the top of my knowledge. The figures I may quote may not be 100% right, but they're generally in line. In terms of cost savings, some of the products received astronomical savings, as much as 60% savings compared to conventional. In terms of time, there were tremendous time savings. But the disadvantage, if you cut the time short, you cut the period during which the people are employed, so that's one disadvantage. Another disadvantage was that the technology came from Gauteng, and the highly skilled people came from our team. The local people were trained within a week and employed from locally, and the builders structured very quickly, and then the jobs ended. So there's no sustainability. The skill comes from outside, and the jobs are created locally. And the jobs which are created locally are low-paying, low-skilled jobs for a shorter duration of time. Cost savings are tremendous. Time savings are tremendous. Durability, as I mentioned, we've tested it in the lab, we'll test it out in the field. But the product used, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's concrete, it's lightweight concrete encapsulated in a steel frame structure with cladding on both sides. So concrete is a well-known product, and so is light steel frame structure. In fact, the light steel frame structure is in accordance with SANS 517, sorry. That's the national standard for the light steel frame structure. Therefore, it's in accordance with the national standard, and therefore the structure will stand. It's just the infill with the light concrete, and then the cladding, and so it's a pretty robust structure, and the fact that it's built at a far lower cost and a far quicker period. You can build two schools for the same cost as one, and you can build them in half the time. So it's obviously it has the benefits are there, but time will tell. As I said, the structural steel frame structure is in accordance with SAN 517. In other words, structural integrity of the structure is in accordance with the national standard. We only certificated the innovative aspects of it, which is the cladding and the infill structure. In terms of the complaints we received, they're generally minor in nature. In other words, certificate holders not complying with the conditions of certification. and our terms and our terms of issuing the certificates which are issued for and on behalf of the chairperson and in his name as a chairperson state that should the certificate holder fail to comply with the conditions of certification, then we will suspend the certificate. Therefore, where the state where we do receive complaints, because we work hand in hand with the national building control authorities, like the building control offices, the national building regulation, NHBRC, the Bureau of Standards, and the NRCS, when you do receive complaints, we send our auditors or inspectors to go out there to carry out investigations. Should they find out that there is contravention of our conditions of certification and the product, the certificate is suspended. And should there be, the question is what happens to the product. The certificate holder is liable to fix those particular anomalies, but the anomalies that we did receive in the last year were minor in nature and does not have any threat in terms of health and safety of the users or the applicants who have been utilizing the particular product. The vendor steel is an Agrima certificated product. It is one of the products that was used in one of the schools. I'm not sure whether it was the one that was used in Willowvale, but we were satisfied with vendor steel and issued a certificate which was signed by the chairperson for certification of that particular product as being a fit for purpose product to be used in the construction industry.
Thank you. Over to
My name is Salomon Mahapa, technical assessor at Agrima South Africa. I also handle the quality management, as my CEO already mentioned. I'll take the question on the certificate that was suspended. The certificate is Windclick window frame. It was suspended because of a complaint on site. There was a complaint on site from the NHBRC that the windows are underperforming. And we did an investigation. Two of our auditors went out and went to check out the site, and they found that there was a transgression in the manufacturing of the window frames. The window frames are concrete window frames that have fibers inside of them. So the fibers that were used, the reinforcement that was used was wrong reinforcement. It was steel instead of fiber. So that's why the certificate got suspended. As Joe mentioned, every certificate that's suspended, we take it off our website. We also put it in the Government Gazette as well to say that the certificate has been suspended and it may no longer be used in the construction industry. Then the next question was the complaints that we receive annually. As my CEO mentioned, we only receive minor complaints, and they're not really of a complaint matter, but of making us aware of the certificate holders that are transgressing from the certificate. So we only receive about two or three complaints a year, and it's only on buildings mostly where they have maybe transgressed a bit and where they're not of a nature that will cause harm to the occupants of the building. The certificate holder will make amends and fix those buildings. Mostly it is maybe cracks, structural cracks or headland cracks, and they will go and fix it. And also, I'll take the question on the two schools in the Eastern Cape, in Willowvale. The Velasteel building system has been certificated by us. It has an Agrima certificate. The performance of the certificate when it was certified was satisfactory, but we will only tell in time for the performance in use. So if the members have any additional information to give us in that, and then we can investigate further on the performance in use of the certificate. The other building system that was used, which is the UCFO's building system, does not have an Agrima certificate. They're in the process of acquiring the Agrima certificate. They did the building on the strength of the SENS 517, as my CEO already mentioned, and as far as you know, it is performing well. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Makubani and Honorable Gayla, Honorable Mguni.
Thank you, Chairperson. when the first answers were given here, they forgot to answer the water provision, because I wanted to find out as to how do they how do they provide water? Do they go through the municipalities, or they go to the chiefs in the rural areas so that they can develop that thing?
Okay, thank you.
No, I just want to clarify. You are saying, CFO, you satisfy the power value system. That is the one in Willow Bay. There are about three to four different products used in the Eastern Cape, and the chairperson of your board, I'm sure, is aware of that. The other three, who is satisfying them? Because the product is being used in Cape Town as well. And chairperson of the board, you also remember, you picked that up in the newspaper regarding the ones that are made in the and the contractors were not at the Cape Tunnels. Who is satisfying those? Because the problem here, Honorable Chairperson, is that when these products are put on the market, you are told that they are lifetime. You'd remember I once referred to a situation of the prefab systems, which are a problem now in the Eastern Cape, which we were told they are lifetime, and now it is, you cannot repair them, you have to demolish them, and it's costing the government more money. So my problem is, who is satisfying the other three? Are they satisfied, or is it just structures that are put up? Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. You see, that's where we go wrong. Because Agrima says to us, after they go through the process of testing and whatever, they issue a certificate. Now,
you from the beginning clarify when you say that's where we go wrong? Are you referring to members of the committee, or referring to whom are you referring to?
I'm referring to Agrima SA, or the system in place where you find product is already updating the market. Nobody monitors whether the product produces the results that it is approved by the Agrima. Example, the very corrugated irons that you find already in the market, you are stuck with a problem that the chairperson, nobody wants to accept the responsibility that we allow this thing to go down there. Because until such time they complain, it is then Agrima comes in and say, no, this certificate must be withdrawn. Now, in this case, they are saying that this suspended certificate was suspended on the basis that there was a complaint. Now, when there is no complaint, it means the product continues to occupy the market space. Now, in the event that you find, e.g., the housing that you always have problems with, there are no complaints, but you have problems. Now, ensuring that the product that Agrima has certificated, why are they not having inspectors to go behind the people who have applied to ensure that the product continuously satisfy the requirements set down by Agrima? But now, here we are told that you will only wait for a complaint. Until there's no complaint, that thing is continued. Now, how do you show? Yeah, legally, yes, it's fine. It was put in the government gazette.
Honorable Mgone, did they indicate that the first wait for the complaint, that's when they will react?
That's what they said, yes. That's what they said. Now, Chairperson, even if they did not say that, but the implication says so. But what I'm saying is that, what if when there is no complaint? What if there is no complaint? We requested that the... What?
Honorable Board, on slide 27.
Yeah.
They indicated that certificate holders subject to quality audits for 2012, there were 22. And I think what the question that you are posing is covered on the, under that. And if I'm correct, what they indicated is that the builders were using concrete window frames, and inside the concrete window frames, instead of them putting fiber, they used steel. That's my understanding. That's what I'm not an expert on that, but that was my understanding. So your question should not be, you should not just put everything, even that is not in their competence, in one pot. Concentrate on that concrete window frame that they mentioned, that that was the problem for them to suspend that certificate. That's my understanding. I'm not an expert on this, but my little understanding as a just a woman, an ordinary woman from the kitchen, who, that's how I understood them. I don't know. Can you wrap up your question? You are tangling yourself by prolonging your question, Dr. Mungun. That's why I intervened.
No, Chairperson, I'm saying that it's because of there was a complaint. My follow-up is that they are saying that because there was a complaint. Now my argument is that as long as that there is no complaint, it means there will be no follow-up to the certificated product. You see, now I'm saying, why can't we have inspectors in the ACRIM where you say once the product is certificated, there is a follow-up to say that to keep on checking whether the person continuously comply with the requirements of the ACRIM. To monitor, basically. Thanks.
Over to you, Agrima.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And thank you very much, Honorable Members, for the question. I just highlighted slide number 19 again to illustrate our mandate, which is market acceptance and growth, which is testing and acceptance of products. In terms of water provision, I just want to state that we do not directly get involved in undertaking water projects, but the products which we certificate have the potential to provide water and support water provision. So I just wanted to highlight that particular question. In terms of the products which are certificated in Eastern Cape, as I mentioned, some of the products are erected in accordance with the national standard, the South African national standard 517, which is the national standards for light steel frame structures, and therefore they are erected in accordance with the national standards, and therefore they have that particular approval in certificating them. So they are approved in accordance with the national standards. In terms of undertaking testing, we undertake quality audits on AGRIMA certificated products. Therefore, we have qualified auditors who carry out audit inspections in accordance with internationally globally accepted auditing principles and standards. So they go out there on a regular and ongoing basis, and when we do receive any complaints or if there's any reason to suspect, then we do carry out additional inspections. But you do not just issue certificates and then forget it and allow the people to operate carte blanche. So we do undertake regular planned audit inspections on a regular and ongoing basis. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there follow-up?
Not a follow-up, Chair, but the answer is not satisfactory. It's fine. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Agrima South Africa, can you correct me if I would be wrong, that your role as Agrima South Africa is to certify innovative technologies? That's clean. Only to certify innovative technologies, if you can understand that. That's my understanding. Chapter 10 of Agrima.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, Honourable Members. Apologies for running late. Chair, I'll just reflect on the issues raised around the technologies used in the Eastern Cape. As the CEO indicated, Madam Chair, there are indeed trade-offs between that fast construction and job creation. And I think the notion of a lifetime product is probably not entirely correct in the literal sense of the word. And of course, in the longest of time, or when you have to maintain that particular asset to the extent that you would not have local skills to actually do that, it does become a challenge, because the core competencies would have come out of the outside of that particular location. In this instance, they either came from Cape Town or they came from Gauteng. So there are difficulties in the event that there's a maintenance issue around those particular structures. Also, to the extent that the structure is delivered relatively very quickly, often you find that there hasn't been sufficient consultation with a whole range of stakeholders outside of the direct beneficiaries as a community. So a critical stakeholder being often the construction industry, or in particular the contractors, you find that actually they have not been in the loop to the extent that they would also appreciate perhaps a consideration of speed that would have occasioned that type of a technology. Consequently, they get dislocated, because the constructors often are actually coming out of the outside of the Eastern Cape. And it becomes a huge problem in an environment where there is insufficient expenditure in fixed investments. And when it actually happens, it happens fast, and it's delivered by entities from outside of the province. So you find that instead of that product, or in this instance, a school, being seen as a solution, it's seen as a divisive element. The kids may be happy, as well as the parents may be happy, but the construction industry is unhappy. So if you like, it doesn't create an entirely cohesive community if one takes that particular point. So there are indeed trade-offs that I think ought to be considered, particularly in the context of priority of job creation. In some instances, if there's a long-term intention to actually use those types of technologies, there ought to be consideration of establishment of a manufacturing capability in proximity to that particular province, because otherwise there's a dislocation of pure economic opportunities to areas that perhaps may also have their own challenges, but perhaps not to the same extent as those regions, depressed regions, would actually have. And we don't think that the issue is about delivery of school. The issue is about building sustainable communities, and those contractors are an integral and a critical component of those sustainable communities. And I think just, Madam Chair, on the issue of the monitoring and surveillance, there may be issues around the quality of the assembling of these particular products. It is indeed not practically possible that at each and every instance where a particular technology is being assembled, that in fact there would be an AGRIMA person in there. That ought to be the responsibility or either of a local municipality, because these particular technologies presumably would have been specified by a certified professional who would understand the conditionalities attached to that particular technology, so that when it's actually assembled, there's an appropriate supervision on site, and there are particular provisions that actually supplement that. I think the difficulty, which is a legitimate concern, would be in the rural areas, you do not have the capacity of the municipality who would ensure that the building is built in terms of its own specification. That then becomes the responsibility of the implementing agents on behalf of the Department of Education, whether that's IDT or KUHA or any of these particular delivery agents. So in a sense, it becomes then the quality of the supervision rather than necessarily the issue of the quality of that particular technology. So you can buy a wheel, Madam Chair, but the way in which you fit that wheel, if you fit two bolts instead of five bolts, sooner or later you're going to lose that wheel in that car. And the issue is not the wheel per se, but it's the fitting of the wheel, to paraphrase. Thank you.
Thank you. You have
haven't responded to Honorable Gaylor's question. He wanted to know why is executive levies going up. SFO?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Honorable Members. The issue of executive levies should be looked in conjunction with the overhead cost. What actually happened there was the classification of cost because of a certain portfolio that was under overhead cost.
Can you hear him?
Mm-mm.
All of us?
Sorry for that. I was saying the executive levies should be looked in conjunction with the overhead cost. What actually caused that increase is because of the classification of cost, because of a certain portfolio that was classified under overhead cost that then moved to executive levies. So if you look at the two, you'll find that the overhead cost went down and the executive went up, but the net effect is zero actually. So that's actually the reason. It was the allocation of cost from overhead to executive because of a portfolio that moved from the classification of overhead to executive levies.
Is there any follow-up? Agrima, in the last meeting that we met with you, you indicated that if you had powers of arresting people who are manufacturing low standard building materials, you will arrest. But because you don't have those powers, there's nothing that you can do. I just want to make members to understand that that was your last response. Honorable Baba Maguvani?
Ngibuze kabili impendulo yiduku. Nangumuntu uthi uphethe amanzi wanikeza abantu. Lawa manzi wathathaphi? Uwasa kanjani ebantwini? Nangugqeli uzakhuluma ithi nesipapa. Uwasa kanjani ebantwini? Uwasehlangene nomasipala noma uwasa yet. Uma uwasa yet.
Baba, mina I don't understand the Zulu. Even a bit, I'm lost. Because I want to understand. Even with Honorable. Those who are from Limpopo don't understand Zulu. Even Honorable Dreyer don't.
We don't have to demarcate South Africa. You are supposed to know Zulu. I suppose.
But
you
can't speak Shangani, Baba. When? Honorable Maguvani?
Yes. So, now, I'm asking this question for the third time. Agrimo South Africa say that they provide water. Can they give us a full explanation as to how do they get water and supply to the whole nation? Because I'm from the rural areas, I haven't seen them; they are not visible. So how do they supply water to the nation?
Agrimo, Honorable Gaila.
No, I think
we should wrap up all.
No, I'm wrapping up. I'm trying to help the CEO. I think you should explain it to the CEO. You know, you also very vague in your explanation. Just explain, be clear, and explain what you are saying. They are very vague, and that is very cheap, and he is very vague. Thank you.
Over to you, Agrima. What about Stoll?
Chairperson, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm not satisfied with the answers about this escalation of executive levies. Well, they are doubling here. If they are 600,000, now they are more than 600. They are 12. They are 1.2. They are doubling this levies. I don't get the clear answer actually. What caused the doubling? We are not saying that they are not supposed to increase, but this doubling is too much.
Baba Gaila, are you satisfied? Agrima?
Thanks very much, Madam Chair. With your permission, Madam Chair, can I answer in Zulu, in Kunilang?
Okay.
I'll also go back can oscillate in English as well. Ngiyabonga baba ngalo mbuzo. Inkazelo yethu ithi asisebenzi ekuhambiseni amanzi. Kungenzeka ukuthi ngesikhathi bebekhuluma maybe abacacisa makahle ukuthi i-area esisebenza kuyo yini. Into esiconcentrate kuyo baba, ukuconcentrate ngathi kuyindlela zezindlu ezingajwayelekile, ezingekho ekwenzeni izinto ngendlela ejwayelekile eMzansi. Asiwahambisi amanzi. Kungenzeka ukuthi kwezinye zezinto esizenzayo, uma for instance siye sabona ukuthi singa-approve, singavuma ukuthi uphahla lendlu lube lulo olunga-right for indlu, uyakwazi ukuthi ungabacosha amanzi ubacoshe from ephahleni, but injongo akusikona ukucosha amanzi, ukuthi indlu ayibe nophahla. So ngiyafuna nje ukugcizelela ukuthi asisebenzi ekuhambiseni amanzi. Siyaxolisa ukuthi maybe kuye kwakho ukungazwani kakuhle ngendlela esiyibeke ngakhona. Just to indicate, honorable members, is it fine? Okay. I think the executive levies, I wonder if Joe, you can maybe be more specific as to actually the breakdown of the executive levies and where the reallocation is actually located.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What I said actually is you have to look at the executive levies in conjunction with overhead costs. In practicality, they didn't increase. What happened is we took some costs that usually were classified under overhead costs and moved them to executive levies because of a certain portfolio that fell under overhead costs that then moved to executive. So the nil increase, there is actually a nil increase, it's just the shifting of cost. Thank you.
Brigela? Your comment? Honourable members, are we done? Madam Goni, are you satisfied?
I'm not satisfied, but I'm fine.
They are not satisfied. They are fine. Okay. I will take it that you are fine. You understood them. Honorable members, I think we have come to the end of our communication with Agrima. Agrima, thank you very much. I just want to indicate that the 2nd of May is the day of the vote debate. It's not definite. The minister yesterday wanted the date to be changed to the 8th, but the minister is still waiting for the for Parliament to respond to. But just want to highlight the members and also to Agrima, CIDB, that it's not a definite date. Otherwise, thank you very much for this presentation. CIDB? That's tea outside. Can we all go and grab a cup of tea, whatever? Why are you